Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Amen. Okay, we're going to Ephesians 6:21, and we're going to go all the way through verse 24. And we're going to do this quick because I have a lot of talking points for you. This is the end of Ephesians, and here is Paul. He has had a journey with the Ephesus church. I mean, he has brought them through who they are in Christ, what God has done when he left the right hand of the Father, and he went up into heaven, and he left us all power and authority here on earth. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. Right? He has taught us how to pray. He has taught us how to be good wives. He has taught us how to be good parents. I mean, he went through it all with the Ephesus church. And so here he is, and he's addressing and saying, it's time for me to go. And this is what Paul says, because he loves the people. A good pastor, a good person who loves the Lord and who is called to take care of sheep, they love their people. And here was Paul. He wanted to not just leave them in the hands of anybody, but he gave them one of his best. Now, I'm going to probably slaughter the name. His name is Tychicus. I don't know if there's any theologians in here that know how to say that the right way. But he gave him this man, and I looked this man up. This man was just not any man. It wasn't like Paul said, okay, church, I'm just leaving you with somebody that has been coming up with me. No, he said, I'm giving you somebody who has done missions, who is taking care of church after church after church. I'm giving you somebody who has been through the hard times and the good times, and I trust him enough to leave you with him and know that you're going to be taken care of. Now, that's a good minister, right? That's somebody who loves people. But that's what God did with us. When Jesus went and sat at the right hand of the Father, who did he give us here on earth? We talked about this last week, so it's not that hard. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here living, dwelling, and staying with us. He's the one that leads us and guides us. And so you can see the parallels in Ephesians of what God is doing. But God knew that Paul was going to leave, but Paul didn't want to leave him in discomfort. Because just like us, we walk outside these doors and what do we see? We see perilous times, right? We walk into messed up situations. We hear horrible things going on. We're hit with the world. But we can come into the house of God, and what does this become? An oasis, right? For our hearts, an oasis for our minds, an oasis for what God wants to speak to us so that we can get ourselves, our fuel tank back up so we can go out. And that's what this is for. And so it's so important. And so here's Paul, and in Ephesians 6:21, he's saying to bring you up to date, Tychicus. You go, girl. You just need to come up here and say it every time. I'll point to you. Tychicus. Tychicus will give you, you know, they just couldn't name him Ty, you know. Let's just call him Ty, all right? From now on, his name is Ty. All right. I'm giving you Ty with a full report about what I am doing and how I am getting along. Do you ever wonder where people go when they leave you? I mean, have you ever had people leave your life and you're like, whatever happened to so-and-so? Well, Paul didn't want to be disconnected from this church. He loved them. He wanted them to know how he was, and he was going to check in with Ty and find out how they were. So he was keeping the relationship open even though he had to go on his way. I love that. That's something we should take note of for ourselves when we have to leave a relationship. It doesn't mean we have to say goodbye and never stop talking to people again. We can actually say, hey, how are you? So maybe you need to throw out a text today to somebody and just say hi. Okay, number two. So then it says, how are you getting along? He is a beloved brother, a faithful helper of the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know that how we are doing and to encourage you. And in parentheses, I put to comfort you. I love that Paul was like, you as a church need to be comforted because you're going to be hit with things and you need to know that you're taken care of. Things that we are given from God on this Thanksgiving season and at the end of this book, I believe God wanted me to point out some things just from this goodbye letter. And when you go through the goodbye letter, you actually go through it and 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, James, Peter, John, they all say this to each other. Every single one of them leave each other this way. So I think church, we should get better at saying goodbye to each other. Okay? This is how they leave it. I'm going to go all the way to Ephesians. I'm going to go all the way down to Ephesians 23 through 24. Peace be with you, dear brother and sister. May the God of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. That's how they all each other, when they leave each other, they are pronouncing, they are speaking these things into each other's lives. They're not just like, bye, peace out, see you later. But they're like, hey, you know what? Peace be with you when you go. And love and faithfulness and grace and mercy. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I want some friends that are like, peace be with you, right? So this is what we're going to learn today, that God wants to leave us with some things, and he left the Holy Spirit, and that what we can do this Thanksgiving season is, number one, we can be comforted in the house of God. You need to get into the house of God. You girls are here, so I'm preaching to the choir. So all of you that are listening to the podcast, make sure that you get your cute little tushes into some of these services so that you can get your spirit man filled up and you can get yourself comforted. Because what does the word comfort mean in the Greek? And now this is another word I will totally like ruin, so I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to call it P. And to it means to call near and to invite, to invoke, to desire, and to exhort. Those are quite extreme words for comfort, right? But to be comforted, you exhort. That means you're built up. You desire. You're desiring some comfort. Have you ever been in a very uncomfortable place in life and you're like, I just hate being in this moment. I need some peace. I need some settling in my spirit, man. But this is what God is asking. Ephesians 6:22 says, whom I have sent you for this very purpose, that you may know the affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Did you know that God has sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter? I love that, because when you're alone and you're having a hard time, because all of us do, right? Every girl has a good cry. It might be that time of the month. It might not be, but a good cry is always healthy, okay? And when you have it, know that you're not crying alone. That you've got the Holy Spirit right by your side saying, I love you. I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to strengthen you. If you just want to cry, I'm here to wrap my arms around you. If you just need a time of encouragement, I'm here to whisper in your ear, you're gonna be okay. And I'm more than enough, so press in to me. I mean, the Holy Spirit wants us to do this. I love 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is merciful, is a merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Listen, you will not find your comfort in a man. You won't. So you might think like, oh, boo-boo is going to go take care of me. No, no. He will never take care of your needs. Jesus is the only one that will be the comforter for you. No child, no human being. Listen, no comfort food. I know we like our good food, our ice cream, and whatever you eat in the middle of the night when you're stressed out. But I'm telling you right now, there's nothing like being in the presence of God, because that is where your strength and your comfort comes from. And so it says that the Father is the source of all, say with me, all comfort. He comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort others. Wait a second. That means you have to do something in this? Yeah. This is not just about you and your needs getting fulfilled, but it's about you taking care of you so that you can be standing back up again and you can help someone else through. And if you're both needing comfort at the same time, then you link arms and you do it together. Because God says that you are the one that is going to help others. When they are troubled, you will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Ooh, that's good. Verse 5, for the more we suffer with Christ, you're like, I hate that. I don't want to suffer. But listen, I'd rather suffer with Christ than just suffer without him, because you're going to suffer either way here on earth. So you might as well do it with Jesus, right? The more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. I want the comfort of Christ while I'm in suffering. How many of you have made it through some tough stuff this year? Right? Can you say, you know what, actually, I was comforted through it. I was not abandoned in it. I might have felt that way, but I know that he was there the whole time. You see, God is faithful. He has not left you, has not forsaken you. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, oh, amen, it is for your comfort and your salvation. Did we just hear that right? So wait, the comfort is for my salvation. Listen, sometimes the uncomfortable places will keep us saved, because we have to run after the one who is the answer to those uncomfortable places. And we can no longer turn to the sin and the ways of this world that have led us to hell. But you're in such a broken place that you're like, there's not one thing here on this earth that will comfort my human heart except for the Spirit of the Almighty. And so I've got to press in and I've got to dig deeper. And if I don't get that moment with God, then I'm not going to be in a place of comfort. You see, God And he wants to comfort you. And he wants to pick you up off the ground and say, let me be your comfort, no one else. That is going to keep you, girls. It's going to hold you. It's going to bring you a place of safety. I love this. For when we are ourselves comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you will patiently endure the same things we suffer. Verse 7, we are confident that as you share in your sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. Have you ever just had a Christian friend and you guys start talking about what's going on in life and you're like, oh yeah, I went through that too. Yes, wasn't God so good in that moment? Yeah, you know, he spoke this to my heart. And then you've encouraged that friend and then she says something to you. And that's what these tables are for. And so I wanna turn you guys to yourselves right now. And I want you to share some good stories with each other. So the tabletop question right now is, what has been a comfort in your life? How do you know it is from God? Tell a time or a season you know that this comfort was a resting place for you. Awesome. Okay, well, we're going to step right into the next verse, Ephesians 6, 23 through 24. It says, peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. The word peace in this scripture in the Greek is arena, and it means prosperity, quietness, and rest. I will take all three. Thank you, Jesus. And so some of you today need to just have a little peace in your life, right? You need some prosperity. Can I get an amen on that one? How about some quietness? What is that like, right? Because even our brains are going when it is quiet. How about rest? If you could, how many of you are like, if I could just get a nap? Or some sleep, like what would my day be like? Well, did you know that God wants that for you? That because he loves you and he is the God of all peace. So he's the comforter and he's also the God of peace. John 14:27 says, I am leaving with you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. Whoa, is that good? That in this world, you're not going to find peace. You're not going to. You know, my favorite is when we go to places like Disneyland or some of these secular areas that do Christmas, right? And they're like, believe, just believe. Believe in what? Like, believe in the magic? Well, I'm sorry. Let's talk about what we're magic. Like, Jesus is what we believe in, and he is the hope of the world, and he is the author of peace. He is the one that we believe in. And so when you find peace, you're going to find it in him, right? And so what in your life, I want to pose a question to you. I want you to think about this for a second. If you find yourself in a lot of busyness and chaos, I do often, most of the time, what do you need to do to change some things in your life for yourself? But not just for you, but for you and God. Because in order to bring peace into your life, the chaos and the confusion has to stop for a second. And let me give you a tip here as pastor. Anytime that something is chaotic or confused, you find just a lot of confusion in a conversation or in a relationship, or there's just a lot of chaos going on around you, that's usually a demonic attack. And until we recognize it as a demonic attack, we can't take authority over it. And so once you say, wait a second, this is ridiculous. In Jesus' name, this is not going to take any more of my time, any more of my heartache. I just rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. I bind that foul spirit here on earth and I release it. In Jesus' name, you go back to hell where you came from. And I pray peace into this situation. I pray peace over this relationship. I pray peace over my finances. I pray peace over my home. And you begin to take back ground and speak peace back into your life. That's when you can have the rest of the Holy Spirit and God with in you, and you'll be at rest. So what in your fill tank needs to be filled to bring you some peace? What are you filling it with? Are you filling it with like everyone's agenda, everybody's schedule, all the places you have to be at, all the different conversations you have to have? Believe me, I get it. I went home last night like with my checklist of people that I needed to talk to before the end of the day, and I was so talked out by the time I got home, my kids got this. And one was having a really hard time, and I'm like, I just can't help you right now. I just, like, literally, there's nothing left. Like, you can't be that person, because the ones that need you the most need you to be ready. And so that meant to me, I went to bed last night going, okay, Holy Spirit, what do I need to change in my life? What boundaries am I not putting out there that I usually do and I didn't do today? And so what do you need to do during this holiday season for yourself and for you and God to fill your fill tank up so that you have the peace through it and you're not that frantic, crazy person when people walk through your door and they're like, oh, glad we came over for Thanksgiving, right? Like, no. You want to be encouraging. You want them to be excited to be there. You're actually happy they're there, but they just can't tell. And so you need to maybe, what do you got to do for yourself? Does that mean that before you start freaking out about every piece of the meal that has to be perfect and warm, you go and you sit alone outside where no one can find you with your Bible and you have a moment with you and God and you just surrender your heart that morning and you say, thank you. Thank you for this and thank you for that and thank you for everything that you've, maybe just giving yourself time to have a moment to bring the peace of God in you, and then it will come up through you during the holidays and during Christmas and during the chaos moments. You can still have a settling. You can be in the middle of a storm rolling around you, and just like Jesus laying there in the middle of the storm, they had to wake him up. And what did he say to those waves? Peace. You see, he's not moved by the storm. And guys, we don't have to be either. So what do we need to do to put something into our lives to fix it? That's personal. I don't want you sharing that because who knows, it could be the girl next to you that's bugging you or something. So you just keep that to yourself and you figure that out. Philippians 4:7. I don't know if you're sitting at a table with your boss, you know. So, okay. Philippians 4:7 says, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Woo! His peace will guard your heart, your minds, as you live with Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So let's invite the peace of God into our next holidays. Let's invite the peace of God into new conversations and new friendships. Let's invite the peace of God into new ways of doing things and new beginnings this next year. So table talk question, what does the peace of God look like to you? And when has there been a time in your life that you have known the peace of God? Go ahead. All right, it says, peace be with you, verse 23, dear brothers and sisters. And may God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you love with faithfulness. So the other thing that God wants to leave us with is love. But he wants to leave us with love with faithfulness. How many of you have ever been cheated on, right? Like someone has cheated on you. And it brings such a distrust to life and to relationships. It taints the way that you see other people or different passed down journeys and roads. And you become a very untrusting person. But God knew that this would happen in a fallen world. And so Jesus says, I am love. Look to me. I'm the one that will remain faithful in my love. This is a love that you can rely on. And this is what God wants to leave us. I love that. Love in these verses, because there's so many different definitions of love. But this one in particular is agape love. And that is a well-pleased love. A loved dearly by God. A beloved. You are God's beloved. That means that he thinks about you. He cherishes you. He loves you. What a thought, because us as women, we love others, right? We give of ourselves for our children and our husbands and our friends and the people in our world, and we love doing that. But do we ever stop enough to say, well, I'm actually loved too? And that somebody does care about my needs and my desires and my longings and knows the innermost beings of my heart. And guess who he is? His name is Jesus. And he loves you so much. In 1 John 4:16, it says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put on trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing, thank you, Jesus, love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. When God sent his son here on the earth in babe form, and Jesus was here on the earth for 33 years, and then he went to the cross and he died. Do you know that when he died, he took on your sin and your shame? And everything that he knew we would do, he put love on it. And love nailed himself to the cross and said, because I love you so much, I will give my life. Because I love you so much, I will open the door between heaven and earth, and I will make a way for you to come into the purest of purest and the holy of holies. You will be my beloved, and I cherish you and I love you. This is the kind of love that we need to walk out of this building carrying and knowing that we rest in, and that's who we are, and that's who I identify with. Not the kind of love that is scripted. You know, they say the things you want them to hear because they want you to feel a certain way. Or how about the kind of love that's conditional? Well, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. And that's love. No, this is an unconditional, unfailing, no holds bar kind of love. This is a love that says, even though you mess up, I don't care. I still love you. That this is a kind of love that says, I'm there for you when no one else is. This is the kind of love that runs into the burning building because they care so much. You see, Jesus is on fire and passionate about who you are. His love is so great and so expansive and so deep and so wide and so high and so expanded for you. Not for just your family, not for just your kids, not for just your husband, not for just your neighbor, but for you. Girls, take a moment right now and think about, wow, I'm really loved. I don't know if I've ever felt loved by a human on earth. Well, I'm here to tell you that the God of heaven and earth loves you more than anybody here on this earth. What a good God. Table talk. Agape love means he's well pleased with us. We are loved dearly by him and we are his beloved. Do you have a hard time believing that you are loved in this way? Sometimes that's hard for some of us. And what do you think when you think about God's love for you? Go ahead and talk about that around the table. We could probably talk about the love of God for days, right? It's kind of hard to not just keep going on the expanse of who God is and how wonderful he is to us. All right. So good. I just love hearing you guys preach to each other. It's like just amazing. It's like electric around here. Okay, Ephesians 6:24. It says, may the God of grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to give us grace. Grace to do the end of this year and Thanksgiving and Christmas and just going home today to your family. He wants to give you grace. Listen, you can't earn grace. Grace is not something that your good works are going to get you to. It's nothing that you even deserve. It's actually a gift from heaven that is free, and all of us are undeserving of it, but yet God says, I love you so much, I'm giving you my grace. We have learned around here, and you could say it with me, that grace is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. Pastor Deborah's, I love what she says, and let me just make sure I wrote this down. So it's God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. That is so good. You're not left out there in this world with no way to do it. You can tap in, you can press into the one who has all the answers, and he's going to carry you through the hardest moments. And he says, you don't have to do this thing called life alone. Because I love you, I'm giving you grace to do this and to do it in my ability and in my strength is what God says. John 1:16 says, for his abundance we all have received one gracious blessing after another. I know that grace to grace, favor to favor. I love what grace means. It's charis in the Greek. Okay, can you say charis? I actually know a beautiful woman in our women's ministry, and she named her daughter charis. And it means grace. It's a gracious manner or an act of a spiritual walk out. I love that. Acceptable. It's a benefit. It's a favor. It's a gift. It brings joy. It brings us liberality. It brings us pleasure. And yet grace also brings thankfulness. Ooh, I loved that. That definition ended on Thanksgiving with thankfulness. That the grace of God can bring a thankfulness to our hearts. Because when we think we have come to the edge and we're about to fall off, you don't know what else to pray anymore. You don't know what else to say anymore in the circumstance. You don't know what else to do in your circumstance. But God says, then press in and wait on me and allow me to carry you on the water. Allow me to take you to new places and new paths. When you think you've gone up to here, how many times have you said, I'm done. And God's like, my grace is never done. It is more than enough. It is all sufficient. Would you stop saying you're done and start pressing into me? I never gave you permission to call it quits or say you're done. God says, but my grace I've given you to carry it out, to keep going, to not give up, to not say today's the day I'm done. God says, I never called you to be done. I called you to be full. I've equipped you to do and go further and go beyond what your capacity is. Because see, girls, in Ephesians, we have learned this year that God is more than enough, but we in him are more than enough. And that we are his ambassadors. We are his daughters. We are his inheritance. We are walking Jesus's everywhere we go. We are his mouth. We are his hands. We are his feet. And when we put a condition on what our world looks like, we are saying that God's grace isn't enough. We're saying his love is not big enough. We're saying that he can't comfort us in the deepest places. We're saying that God is not enough. And God is here to say today and remind us that he is more than enough. And he has given us everything we need for good and grace and holiness. And we've got to speak life again. And we've got to press into who he is and not who we are. And we've got to ask heaven for the anointing to do what it is he's asked us to do. You are the hope of this world. You are his mouthpiece. Girls, you are commissioned today to go out into the highways and into the byways and tell someone about the love of Jesus Christ, that his grace is more than enough, that his love is bigger than what they've ever experienced, that God is the comforter of all those who are hopeless. You see, that's who our God is. That's who our God is. That's who he is. Thank you, Jesus. Grace, God's ability to do what his word demands of me. Come on. When you want to put yourself down, you just remember, no, I'm a grace carrier. I don't get to do that. It's not my right. It's not my right. I don't get to say I'm done. We have a joke around here. You can quit today, but you got to show up for work tomorrow. That's how it works. Because we have some hard days around here. I was telling Missy the other day, I moved into a new office, and I'm like, in my office doesn't say never give up. She gave me a sticker when I first got the job. It says never give up. And every office I had the sticker. Well, they moved me to a new office now, and I don't have the sticker. But I'm like, but God's grace is more than enough. And that means that if he's asked me to do this, and he's going to give me the capacity to carry it. So what is God asking of you? What is in your hand? What are the new measures that he wants you to pour out? What are the new borders and boundaries he's asking you to step into? What are those things? Some of you have been retired, and you're older, and you're saying, I'm done. I've done my part. I've done my life. I don't have anything left in me. I'm here to tell you, who are you to put a time limit on what God wants to do through you? You see, God is not done with you yet. God has a word that someone needs to hear. And the Bible tells me, let the older women teach the younger women. So since when do you stop telling someone about Jesus? Since when do you not start putting what God has done for you down? Write it down, girls, for the next generations to come, because there's going to be a whole plethora of young women that need someone to tell them that God is good and that he loves them and that he is more than enough. You see, when you feel that you're not enough, I'm here to tell you, you're not, but he is. And you don't have to worry about meeting that expectation, that measurement of what the world says. Start timing to turn off the TV. Turn off the measurements. Turn off the voices that the enemy is lying to you about. Because God today is telling you that he is your sufficient grace. He is the one that is your comforter. And what he has asked you to do, he's going to equip you to do it. And when you want to give up, just remember my loud voice in your head going, since when do you get to give up? You got to go back to work. Come on. You don't get to be done. Lori, you're not, God's not done with you. You're going to walk out of that chair and you're going to make me food on Sunday mornings because I miss you. God's not done. He's not done. It may not look like your timing, girls, but the grace of God is not on our time limit. God's ability is not in our mindset. So stop putting a time limit on what God's grace looks like. Let's just press in and trust him in it. I was going to take you to more questions, but this is where we're going to pray together right now. Because I believe God wants to do some things. He wants to stir some things in your hearts over this season. This is not just a break from Women Rock. And some of you are like, why are you guys breaking? Because there's only so many of us on staff now. And I have 3 kids. And so it's a new season. And Pastor Jess has a family. And it's better for me to keep my family together than for me to be so burnt out that my kids are off sinning and your pastor's a hot mess. No, no, no. So this is going to be prayer and fasting time for me to find out what God wants to do for you guys next year. And so we're going to take some time to let the ground settle and to pray. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. I want you to take this season that we're not together. And I want you to press in. And I want you to find out what God wants for you in your new season. Can you do that for me? Some of you have made that saying to yourself, I'm done. No, God is not done. You're, as long as you have breath in your mouth, you are his mouthpiece. So what does he want to do? Maybe there's going to be some new businesses birthed out of you. Maybe there's going to be some new dreams that you forgot you even had. You're going to lay your head to bed at night and you're going to have that dream and go, I forgot all about that. Because you're going to be ripe and ready and you're going to be listening to the Holy Spirit and he's going to be able to trust you with it again. You see, let's put our hearts in a place of surrender. Let's put our hearts in a place of rest in who he is. I'm going to finish reading that again. This is how they leave each other. May the God of grace be eternally upon you with the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we leave each other today, I say that to you. May the God of grace, who loves you, be upon you. Lord, I just pray for every woman in this room. I ask for a supernatural grace. Lord, you know every walk of life in this room. You know every heart in this room. You know every mindset in this room. And God, we're just a big mix of everything. But God, I believe that you know every single detail of each of our lives. And Lord, you created us for your time, for your purpose such as this. And so Lord, we answer the call and say we are full-time ministers of the gospel and we are ready for what you're ready for. And Lord, I pray that as we seek your face in this next season, that Lord, that your love would comfort us. Lord, that your grace would take us through. Lord, that you would cover us and that you would make a way. Lord, I pray for restoration of marriages right now. Lord, I ask God that every stupid little argument and fight and everything that steals time and steals love and steals peace in the home, Lord, I right now in the name of Jesus, we just command it to stop. And Lord, I pray that the peace of God would come into the homes. And Lord, that your presence would sweep through these homes. And Lord, that the love of God would reign in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, God, that there's not been a settling because of sickness overtaking their bodies. There's not a rest in their body. There's not a peace in their body. Lord, I pray for every bone. I pray for every cell. I pray for every nerve, Lord, in the name of Jesus to be supernaturally healed. And God, I pray that the peace and the healing of God would fall upon them in their homes in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for restoration this year in families. It's been too long. The enemy has taken too many relationships. And Lord, I ask for parents and children to be reconciled. I ask for siblings to be reconciled. I ask for unity to be in the body of Christ. And there, God, you will be able to flow freely and the power of God will fall like a revival on our homes again. And so, Lord, we pray right now that you would change the hearts of the people in our families. God, that you would arrest their attention. That, Lord, that there would be forgiveness would reign and love would be the one that overtakes us, God. And Lord, we thank you for that, Jesus. And Lord, we love you so much. And Lord, we thank you for each other at this Women Rock meeting, God. We thank you for your presence here. And Lord, we thank you for this girls' night out. God, I'm in faith for 4,000 women to come. God, I call them in from the north and the south and the east and the west. Lord, I ask that every woman that needs to be there will be there so that they can hear your life-changing message of your good news of hope for this lost world. And so, Lord, I ask, God, that there would be wells of salvation that would spring up out of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And Lord, that there would be rivers in the desert, God. And Lord, we call those things in right now. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we just love you. We pray for a blessing on every Thanksgiving dinner, that it would be good and blessed and provided for. Lord, there'd be no tension, but there would be love. And those that they didn't think would be around their tables, God, I pray that they would be there by surprise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.